Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And Akashic Wisdom is typically a show that talks about the Akashic Records and what people do with the Akashic Records and all manner of Akashic Records information. Tonight, we're going to be a little different. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Malcolm Fraser. And Malcolm Fraser is a coordinator for the Foundation of I, and he is offering the Ho'oponopono workshop in Chicago next weekend. And Ho'oponopono, as we're going to learn, I'm sure, more about, was originated, and he's going to tell us all about how it was originated. I personally just finished a workshop in Philadelphia earlier today with Dr. Hugh Len, and it was really magnificent. And so I can't wait to talk a little bit more to Malcolm tonight. But I would like to share with you that we are going to be taking questions. Give us a few minutes to talk a little bit, and then we will take your questions. The other thing is that if you are curious, because we're not going to be talking that much about the Akashic Records tonight, if in fact you're curious about more information about the Akashic Records, please go to my website at www.akashicwisdom.com, or the organization that I represent is Akashic Record Consultants International, and that is ARC-AkashicRecords.org. Okay, and without further ado, I'd like to welcome Malcolm Fraser to the Akashic Wisdom Show. Welcome, Malcolm, and I hope you're having a good evening. Good, yes. Good, great. So, what I'd like to do is kind of give our listeners an overview of what the Ho'oponopono work is and its origin. Can you share that with us, please?
Certainly. Dr. Hulen's teacher was a lady called Mona Simeona, and she had learned the Ho'oponopono process in the traditional way. And that was done at a level of sometimes 100 people simultaneously, sorting out issues in the society with each other. And, of course, when people have got issues with each other, especially if it's 100 at a time, things could get kind of rowdy. You know, okay. You leave that to everybody's imagination to figure out how rowdy that could get.
Right.
So Mona changed the process. She updated it and made it a personal thing, that somebody could work in exactly the same way on themselves to clean the memories that give rise to all of these problems. And, of course, Dr. Hugh Len was a very major student of hers. And he's been working with this method now, I think he said, for 42 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
And of course he is a very, very wonderful guy.
Yeah.
And a wonderful teacher. And
yes.
The most amazing thing about him, from my point of view, is simply how thoroughly he walks his talk.
Really?
And it's a joy to watch him in restaurants, in particular. The way he goes out of his way to thank the staff, to compliment the chef, to treat everybody like very, very, very important human beings, not like some servant who, you know, is there to slap food on your table.
Uh-huh.
And he treats everybody with an enormous degree of respect and love like that.
That's great.
And that's pretty amazing, and it's great to see.
Yes. Origin was with Mona.
Yeah.
And now, has the work changed at all since... Now, Mona's not on the planet any longer, is that
right.
Correct? Okay. So it went from working with a group of people to an individual. And now, why do you think that this work is as important as it is. I'm going to give my opinion after you're done, but I think it's probably going to be similar. But in your opinion, how is this work? Why were you drawn to it, and why do you think it's important, and that kind of thing?
Okay. I was drawn to it, as probably an awful lot of listeners and certainly people who are applying for the courses, were drawn to it through all the work that Joe Vitale's done on his blog, his website, and now the book Zero Limits.
Uh-huh.
And clearly anything that says responsible, even if you didn't mechanically cause it, there is something you can do about it. And in the cleaning that you will let go of whatever it is, I will let go of whatever it is in me that is helping to contribute or to maintain this problem. That appealed to me enormously. I had been many, many years ago on one of those seminars like EST, but this was in London.
Mm-hmm.
And there, that notion, you know, this notion of responsibility, of being 100% responsible for your life, has come up in a number of different ways in a number of different seminars. And what it actually means for you in your life has changed somewhat in the context of the seminar. Well, here was Dr. Hugh Len saying, you're responsible for everything. It may be happening on the other side of the planet, and you certainly didn't mechanically cause it, but you're still responsible. You are plugged into the same subconscious memories that everybody else is, and you're responsible simply by virtue of being alive and plugged in. And therefore, you can do something about it, and you can clean it. You can clean it in yourself to work on your own issues, and you can just clean the memories. They're not the other person's, they're not yours, they are just the memories, and that will improve the situation. Now, of course, with Joe's original blog, he had brought to light what is there in the articles on the website, that there is a remarkable history that Dr. Hugh Len had in working with the Hawaii State Hospital as a staff psychologist.
Right, can
and
you
anything,
share that? Yes, let me ask you. Go ahead.
Anything that could have that kind of effect was something I needed to know about.
And can you just share that story again with our listeners? Because I just want to make sure that that even though our audience is pretty plugged in, I would love to have them go ahead and hear that story again just briefly about what Dr. Hugh Len did there.
And if they've read Zero Limits, there's quite a lot of detail about it in there.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he was as the hello.
Yeah, we're there. We're good.
Okay, good. He was there as a staff psychologist, not as a treating psychiatrist. And by his own account, he really didn't do very much work as, you know, sitting down and sorting out the staff's problems. But he could see that there was violent kind of atmosphere, people needing to be restrained and shackled and medicated, and the staff hating it and the absenteeism rate climbing. So if somebody wigged out one day, instead of trying to solve a problem, he would just go and find out what was going on and then sit down and clean on himself. And gradually the whole thing calmed down. The absenteeism rate came down, the medication rate came down, the needs for restraint came down. People were able not only to participate in the much more open kind of therapies that were going around, but to help organize them. So people were taking responsibility for their lives.
Mm.
And he's not treating anybody.
Yeah.
He's cleaning on himself, and eventually that hospital closed down. Went out of business.
Wow.
Wouldn't that
fabulous.
Be fun?
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, does that mean when you say that it went out of business that there were no more criminally insane people in that area?
That you'd have to, I guess, check with the whole of Hawaii.
Okay. I was going to say. You
but
know,
a lot of those patients were discharged.
Right. I got it. Okay. All right. I believe that this work could have that kind of effect.
Right.
You see? So that's why I was asking the question. The interesting thing about it, well, now I'd just like to have you clarify for our readers, and again, I'm not trying to give anything away that's not in the book, but when you're talking about cleaning on yourself, you're talking about what? In other words, like, I just took the seminar, I already know, so you tell them.
Right. Now, on the website, there are a number of articles, and some of the cleaning tools are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that everybody knows, it's in Joe's book, it was on his blog, and that is in taking responsibility for whatever is going on. You say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And to do that, not with the aim of trying to fix something or cure it or fix something out there, because there is no out there, as who was it, John Wheeler said.
Right.
And the tools are not tools in the same way that a spanner is. They are petitions to divinity to do this cleansing on our behalf. Now, of course, this is also mentioned in Joe's book. You know, divinity knows that this needs to happen, doesn't really need our prayers. It's that we need to say it, and we need to hear ourselves saying it.
Right. Now, is it always necessary to say the I love you, please forgive? Was it I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you? Is that the way it's necessary? Is it or is there another way of saying it?
There are different tools.
Okay.
With that tool, you know, it's only four steps, only takes a few seconds.
Sure.
And of course, there are some issues that may need that saying repeatedly.
Correct it. Yeah. Right. Yes. Completely. Right. And you know, it's interesting. Dr. Hewlett talks about as you clean yourself, you clean your environment.
Right.
You know, so that you're able to say, "I love you" and "thank you" to the trees and all those and so that your whole environment takes on a new feel. I've got to just tell you a quick story. I was coming home in the plane tonight, and I kept cleaning totally because I really wanted to be able to spread out a little bit, and I've been so used to tight planes these days, and all I did is start cleaning on myself, you know, just cleaning on myself and visualizing me sitting in that seat. And don't you know, when I got to the airport, I went up to the desk and I said, "Hi there, you know, is it a very full flight?" And the lady says, Not too, and she says, "Pretty full." And I said, "Well, I have this seat. Is it still got an empty middle? Because when I checked in online, it had an empty middle." And she said, "Oh," she said, "not only does it have an empty middle," she goes, "you're the only one sitting there." So I thought, wow, this stuff really works. You know, this is great. So I know that might be a very lighthearted way of working with it, but it was such a feeling of self-care to be able to clean and clear and then have exactly what I had envisioned and desired to show up.
Right.
I mean, and I don't want to give the impression to anyone out there that that's what you use the Ho'oponopono work for. What I'm saying is that what I notice is that just from the short time that I've been working with it prior to the class, and at the class, that things seem to move easier. Things
right.
Just kind of show up for you. They just kind of, you kind of get in the flow with this. That's what I meant.
Yeah. I think that's, in a way, the most important thing. We need to get out of our own way because we're not actually in charge.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
When we do that, things show up not necessarily as we might plan them, and there's a trust in that as well. Oddly enough, when I first went on the course, I flew up to Montreal for it.
Uh-huh.
And while I'd been picking my seat on Travelocity, I think it was, there was a choice of flights, and there was something that was just saying, take this flight, take this flight, take this flight. And not only that, take this seat, take this seat, take this seat. So I did. And I was wondering about that because, you know, if something's telling, if it's that clear, of course you do it.
Right.
And actually, it was two seats on either side of the aisle. And I was curious to see there. And I remember mentioning it to Dr. Hugh Len, who said, it's set up for you, it's something to do with what your future will be about. Well, I was then kind of surprised when nobody sat down in the seat next to me. Hey, where are they? Who am I supposed to meet and whatever? But then the flight home gave me chance to work on a story I've been writing and outline a plot and all of that kind of stuff. And now, of course, then it's up to me to do a whole lot more work.
Whoops, I lost you. Where'd you go? Hello? Malcolm, if you're there, I can't hear you. Okay, there you are. I lost you for a minute.
Okay, there you are.
Okay. All right, so anyway, you were saying you were on the way home.
And we're not in charge.
Right.
We don't know why things are happening. And even when we sort of get more in tune and more, to coin a phrase, spiritual, we still don't know. And whether it's just so you can have the peace and quiet or so you can have a bit of space, or it might have been that somebody absolutely needed to be in that seat so that they could talk to you or me, and we don't know.
Right.
And that might have happened even if the lady at the desk had said, no, you've got the whole row to yourself.
Well, that's exactly what she did say. I did have the whole row to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even her having said that, there might have been somebody. And, you know, then you would deal with that, and you'd go. You trust it, and you trust the energy.
No. Where I lost you was you started working on your story, and we didn't hear the end of that.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Now, of course, all the rest of that work that might be involved with that story is still down to me to do.
Uh-huh.
But it was just having that space where it could have been, could have been a cramped journey.
Right. Exactly.
And we don't know. We just trust it and take what comes.
And let it be. Absolutely. Let it be. So in your work, now you're going to have a seminar on the Ho'oponopono book, the whole Megillah, as they say, the basic one, and where is that going to be, and when is that going to be?
That's next Saturday at the Spring Hill Suites in Chicago, which is very close to O'Hare Airport.
Okay. And it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, can you tell our audience what you're going to be training on that? What you're going to be teaching?
Certainly, it's really teaching and practicing the use of all the tools. There's a lot more than just that four-line cleaning tool.
Right.
They can be used in different situations, seeing them, getting to know them, getting used to them, getting to know how to work with them, and getting some practice in cleaning with them.
Right. Now, one of the things that I enjoyed at the seminar this weekend is that we also received a manual and a cleaning toolkit, and that's very valuable and very sacred information.
Yes.
And one of the things I'd like to share with our listeners is that I was actually amazed at all the different types of cleaning things that you can use that you don't have to go out and spend lots and lots of money for. You, they're right in your grocery store, and they're right in your home, and they're right in your heart, and so there's a lot of different things that you can use that you learn in this workshop to be able to create your environment so that you're in a constant quote unquote cleaning mode, so that everywhere you look and everywhere you are, you're constantly cleaning, because the more that you clean the memories and the more you clear the memories, the more that you are able to deepen your connection with divinity. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I'm sorry?
Because the point of this is not just so that we can have two seats where we paid for one.
Exactly, right.
It's to return to zero.
Right.
When we do that, we can then be filled with inspiration as opposed to creating out of the memories.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. One of the books that Dr. Hulin likes to recommend or at least talk about is called The User Illusion. And one of the key elements in that is that we have this sense of being this sort of consciousness that looks out from behind our eyes, and therefore we are somehow in charge of everything. Well, the problem is that for every 15 bits, maybe, of information we can process at any one moment, there's another 11 million bits going on subconsciously. And that's what we call memories in Ho'oponopono. And that's what's creating our same old, same old, same old stuff the way it is. Now, we're actually happiest when we can act without thinking. The most obvious example are the people who play sports at the very top level, you know, like Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
In his prime.
Yes.
But when we have to think and weigh up and, you know, well, how can I do this and how can I do that and how can I fit all the other stuff in, you know, we stress that very, very quickly. And we don't like acting because we don't trust ourselves to be able to act without thinking. And that, in turn, is because we create from our memories. And we know what happens when we create from our memories, because we get more and more of the same old, same old. And so we're trying to control that process, and it just doesn't work. So then we have techniques like, well, visualize what you want in your life, or set your intention and go for it full bore. And none of those things really work, because these memories are acting like a continuous, continuous undertow, dragging us and recreating the same old, same old. And it's that we're cleaning on. So there's a base. What consciousness does have is a choice. It's the choice between trying to control all the memories and trying to work with it, but actually being subject to it. Or to work on cleaning, cleaning, cleaning to allow for divine inspiration.
Hmm.
That's what consciousness can do, is that choice.
And So it's the memories not only of our physical life of today, but it's also the memories that we carry in our DNA. Is that right?
Right. And carried over from past lives.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they're not going anywhere until they've been cleaned.
Yeah.
Which essentially is releasing the energy back to divinity.
And how does this work with the divine plan?
I guess you have to ask the divine that.
I'm sorry?
I guess you have to ask the divine that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to claim I even know what the divine plan is.
Yeah, no. What I meant was it's like, for example, in some schools of thought, we believe that, or people believe that everyone comes in with a certain agenda of essences of things that people need to learn or experience, and that we all have free will, etc. And so when a person decides to take this tact of cleaning to release the memories so they move forward, how do you suspect that is an experience that they chose prior to coming into this lifetime to be able to clean these memories in this lifetime or begin to clean them?
I don't know when the decision would have been made. I think it's clear that the pressures of our modern lifestyle are getting to the point where it's actually difficult for people to function unless they do something down this track.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's yoga, whether it's psychotherapy, whether it's soul retrieval work, whatever it is, people are finding that they need to reconnect with their essence in order to be able to function. That there's a sort of split from ourselves that people are finding not only unhealthy, but pretty untenable. And when you get faced with that as a practical choice in this life, then at some level the only question is, how are you going to do your cleaning? And of course, a lot of people are working with psychotherapy, with yoga, with all of those things. But I couldn't really say whether or not anybody's necessarily made a conscious decision to do that before they came in.
Yeah, I don't know that any of us have a conscious decision when it comes to a soul thing. The reason I say that is because it seems that this is such profound yet simple work. It's not complex. It's very profound, and it's very simple. It's very grounded, and it's very focused. At the same time, it is based 1,000% on love, and the clearing comes from loving oneself. I think what was so profound with this work is that it brings us back, or brings me back. What I got from the workshop is not only just a sense, but a real definition and technique that made it okay to love myself. Because what I have found in my work with individuals with the Akashic Records is that people have a longing to really connect with their own love of self and the divine. And somewhere along the line they have this stuff, this data, as Dr. Hewlin calls it, that prevents them from seeing their own magnificence as well as seeing their own worth. And it's like they want to love everybody else, but they can't love themselves. And therefore, it's very hard truly to love someone else if you're not really in love with yourself. And not from an egotistical point of view, but from a point of view of heart. And so what the reason I asked that about the soul decision prior to coming in is because it would seem that for a lifetime, for people who have had issues with a variety of different depressions or physical illnesses, that could literally be shifted by turning within, this could really be magnificent for them.
Right.
Have you had any experiences that you could relate or known things, stories that you could tell about how this work has affected people?
I was looking through some old emails from the course last year, and one particularly jumped out at me. In fact, she wrote to me after Christmas, but she said that when she got home, what had once been strained relationships were now downright pleasant. Who knew that could happen, was her comment. It's part of this thing that there's not really an out there. Those other people aren't out there. It's we think we're making judgments about them, but it's all really coming from this subconscious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when we clean on that, somehow it does affect other people. When I got back from the course in Montreal, one of my colleagues looked at me the day after and said, "Wow, you've changed.
Huh.
You're different." And since then, when I work on situations, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is magically cured or I get what I want, but it does mean that any obstacles and transitions get handled a lot more smoothly. There's a naturalness. You don't have to force it. I just clean on it. And that's what other people are saying. Now, it can be in a variety of ways. Somebody being very, very ill, suddenly getting well and walking out of the hospital. I see a comment about a lousy manager who suddenly got transferred. babies, crying babies that quieten down, as well as very agitated people.
Mm-hmm.
And even I see a note about a friend ending a dysfunctional relationship peacefully and easily. You know, things smooth out. And they smooth out because we're not, or partly, they smooth out because we cleaned.
And when we
smooth out because we're not trying to force things.
Right. So and so when we clean on ourselves. It's not about fixing someone else. It's about cleaning ourselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even more accurately than that, it's not about it's cleaning the data.
The data.
Cleaning the memories. They are not necessary. You know, at 11 million bits of information subconsciously a second, it's hard.
Whoops! I lost you again, Malcolm. Where'd you go? Hello, Malcolm. Where did you go, Malcolm? Hello? Oops, I'm sorry. I lost you. Hello? Oh, there you are. I don't know what happened. Are you there? Malcolm? Hello? Hello, Malcolm. Where are you? Hi there. Here we are again. So much for Vonage, huh?
Yeah.
So we apologize to you guys. Thanks for being patient. You know, you were right in the middle of a wonderful thought. Can you get back there? It was about cleaning the data.
I mean the data rather than...
Yeah.
Because it's very hard for me to identify as being 11 million bits of information per second that I'm not even aware of.
Right.
But that is what's going on, and I can see and feel it bubbling to the surface occasionally. Or if the way I know that something else out of there is an issue is because of what gets stirred up in my gut or wherever else I feel it. And at that point, I realize that I'm plugged into it all, and then I can clean.
Mm-hmm. And when you say clean, again, it's just a matter of saying either I love you and thank you or those four steps you were talking about.
Yeah, or using one of the other tools.
Or we're using one of the other tools. Right, exactly.
That is such a great tool in itself.
Yes. What I'd like you to do is I want to take just a moment to give the Ho'oponopono website so people can check this out and they can register for your workshop by going to that website. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Would you please give that to our listeners?
Yes. It's http://hooponopono.org. There's no www in there.
Okay, can you spell that, the Ho'oponopono business? The word? I didn't mean business. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. But can you spell Ho'oponopono for us, please?
Sure. H-O-O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O.
.org.
.org.
Okay. Yeah. And there is no www in there?
Correct.
Okay. And now, and this is going to be at the
Spring Hill Suites by Marriott.
Spring Hill Suites by O'Hare?
Yeah, it's up at very close to O'Hare Airport.
Okay. And but for people can still, there's still room in the seminar. There's still a few seats left, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's going to run from what time to what time?
10 o'clock to 5 o'clock Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, and now
for
would they... Go ahead.
For anybody in the Chicago area, that hotel is at 8101 West Higgins, which is right by the Cumberland exit off the Kennedy.
Okay, great. And now, would they contact you? If they wanted, is there like an early registration discount if they go by their website or anything like that?
And people are still eligible for that.
And they're eligible up until when?
Friday. Payment has to be received by Friday.
So the tuition has to be received by Friday. And people can pay with PayPal, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And you'll get a chance to experience this Ho'oponopono work. You'll meet Malcolm, and you will have an introspective, fabulous 2 days of working and cleaning on yourself to really see what this work can bring to you. I mean, this work can shift the world. I mean, I know that Dr. Hugh Lin's been doing this for 47 years, or is it 42 years, but it seems that all that time that he was working has brought him to where he is today, and to be able to explode this thing across the planet and really move into a widespread cleaning of thousands of people.
Right.
Yeah. So I tell you what, if there's anyone out there that'd like to ask Malcolm a question, this would be a great time to do it. If you are in the U.S., you can dial 877-876-5227. Or if you're in Canada, you can dial 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country and you would like to call in, our direct line is, in our country code is 01. It's 530-876-3222. So If you were interested in asking a question, this would be the time to dial in. Those are not rollover numbers, ladies and gentlemen. So first come, first serve. So this would be the time to do that. You can we will answer any question that you have, hopefully. Malcolm, tell us a little bit about what you do when you're not is do you use the Ho'oponopono work in your personal work as well?
Yes, all the time. I'm a physical therapist, and I work very much with the gentler manual therapies that come under the heading of integrative manual therapy, but include craniosacral, visceral manipulation, strain, counter strain, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the premise of Ho'oponopono is there's nothing wrong with the person. And it's using the tools to clean anything in me or anything in the memories that is helping keep this situation stuck is something I need to work on simply because the person has come to me. Now, it doesn't matter what one does, physical therapy, psychotherapy, or medicine.
Or Akashic Records.
Or Akashic Records, any kind of counseling or work practice.
Right.
The person to the practitioner, and consequently the practitioner needs to clean.
Right.
So whether I've got my hands on somebody or giving them exercises, that is what is also going on, either before, during, or afterwards, or all three.
Interesting. Now you had mentioned earlier that you had come to this work via Joe Vitale. Do you know Joe Vitale personally, or
no.
You just know from their website, or what?
Yeah, just know from the website and the book.
Right. But this work is. But you've been doing this work for a couple of years now, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the book just came out, didn't it?
Yeah. But he had a blog. November 2005, I guess. And if my math is correct. And then he was pointing people at the website. And on there, I found that liturgy that Mourner used and started, which talking about the three, the being, the subconscious, the conscious and the superconscious.
Uh-huh.
The liturgy basically goes, Divine Creator, Father, Mother, Child as one. And then I'm thinking of an issue or a problem with somebody. If I, my family, relatives, or ancestors have injured or offended this person, their family, relatives, or ancestors, in thought, word, deed, or action, from the beginning of creation to present time, we ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Let this cleanse, purify, release. Cut through the negative memories, blocks, energies, and vibrations, and transmute these unwanted energies into pure light. And it is done. Now, when I read that, I started working on issues, challenges, people who are, you know, I regarded as being kind of stressful in my life. And then as I worked more with that, I basically got to realize that this would apply to
everything.
Yeah. So I spent months and months just with that liturgy and just cleaning on everything I could think of, every situation, every relationship I could think of, and every time I could feel the release of energy afterwards.
Interesting. And that particular liturgy is on the Ho'oponopono website,
yeah.
Yeah, and again, ladies and gentlemen, that's http://?
Yeah, whichever.
Whatever the slashes are.
Yeah.
Right?
Standard
and it's ho'oponopono.org. Correct?
Yeah.
They could also find it in the book Zero Limits. And we're talking about the book Zero Limits that Joe Vitale wrote with Dr. Hugh Len. And that book actually outlines the story of Dr. Hugh Lin and his interaction with Joe Vitale and other people. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so in this work, in the past 2 years that you've been working with it, how many actual basic ones have you gone to?
Oh, lucky.
What'd you say?
I was very lucky.
Oh.
When I had seen that, seen the website, I wanted to bring it to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So I emailed a lady and got emailed the foundation and got a reply from Hokupana,
uh-huh,
who said, we take the course first.
Uh-huh.
So when I went up to Montreal, of course, I invited Dr. Hulin to Chicago. And so in person, I've retaken the course a couple of times by virtue of having it here in Chicago.
Sure.
And the other thing that happens in Ho'oponopono is that you can retake a course in absence. Don't actually have to be there. So I've taken it several more times in that way.
In absenteeism.
And, yeah, in absentia.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the weird thing is that while that is happening, you know how stuff comes up on virtually any course you go on?
Sure.
Well, that happens even when you're not physically present.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Gee, talk about that. That's interesting.
And that is kind of strange. You go, okay, stuff's bubbling to the surface. Why is it bubbling to the surface? Right? Oh, yeah, I'm on a course a couple of hundred miles away, aren't I?
And so you're just kind of going about your business, you know,
right,
in Chicago while we're having a class in Philadelphia, for example.
Yeah.
You know, and you're taking it in absentia, and so you don't have to focus on the course or anything like that. You just have to go ahead and register for that course and in as an absentee student, and it still gets transmitted to you.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. I was actually having a conversation with Constance, and she was telling me about that. You don't have to have a lot of time in between the breaks. And so I said, really interesting. And I got it, but I didn't really get it, I guess, until I talked to you. That's wild. That's just an amazing kind of a reaction to have happen. And so you then, when stuff starts bubbling, you just start cleaning, eh?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's amazing. So we're coming down to the wire. Evidently, people are just fascinated enough that they don't know what to ask. We've got about 3 more minutes, so if you want to email a question in, you know, you're always welcome to do that, ladies and gentlemen, at akashicwisdom@aol.com. You can certainly email me. I've got my computer on, and we can certainly cover a question. I know that everything is better with email as far as the work. Now, do you want to give your personal email, or you just want to maintain?
Totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you like to do? Go ahead.
Malcolm, MALCOLM, dot Fraser, FRASER, at comcast.net.
Great. And
please,
so people...
Yeah, I'll be very, very happy to answer any question I can.
Great. And did you want to share your phone number, or you just want to do the email?
It's much, much easier if people email.
Okay, great. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for is it Dr. Fraser or
oh, no,
are you
just Malcolm?
Just Malcolm Fraser. If you have a question for him, you can certainly email him again at malcolm.fraser@comcast.net. Is that correct?
That's right.
Right. And if you would like to register for the Ho'oponopono workshop that's coming up in Chicago for next week, we encourage you to go to that website at the Ho'oponopono.org and sign up for that website and for that workshop. Just as a comment for anyone who's listening, from the Akashic Records point of view, I'm going to be doing a workshop on the Akashic Records at the end of September. Would love to see anybody who's going to be in the Carlsbad, San Diego area. If you would like to call and ask me any questions around the Akashic Records, you can certainly call me at 216-691-1233, or to schedule a personal telephone appointment. I'm available then. And Malcolm is also available to do your energy work, your
right.
physical, it's physical therapy, right?
Yeah.
And so, we have a question. Hey, wait a minute. We have a couple questions here. We do. Okay. Here's the question. Do you have to take the class one time first to take the class in absentia to be effective? And that would be yes.
Yes.
Correct?
For the first time you take the course, you have to take it in person.
You have to be in person, right.
Yes.
And then after that, you can take it in absentia.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, just 2 minutes before we, on this, can you share how this work has affected people who have depression? Do you have any information on that?
Not a huge chunk.
Okay. So, would there be anything on the website that could talk about that?
There are different case histories, but actually particularly in Joe's book.
In Joe's book, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is not really a therapy or a fix-it-quick method.
Right. Good.
There's a big caveat to that. This is about returning to zero and releasing and doing as much cleaning as may be necessary. Now, with if the premise is, if there's anything in my world that I don't think is okay, it's because what's going on in the subconscious is not okay. And in that sense, there's an awful lot that needs cleaning on the planet. At least I think so.
Absolutely. No, you're right.
That's what I need to clean on.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's an important piece. This is not a quick fix. It's a lifetime of work. But as you clean, things can become easier for you.
Cool.
And it's really about having, like you said, going back to zero, which may in fact not happen in one lifetime. What do you think?
There's a story on the website that Dr. Hulens says about the hot fudge sundae.
Oh, yeah,
he promised himself that if he could get through a single day without a judgment about another person, he would give himself the biggest hot fudge sundae that would make anybody sick. And when he was here, I think it was last September, and a few of us went out for dinner, and somebody was joking about this in the car, and that, of course, he hadn't had that hot fudge sundae yet. And Dr. Hulen said, no, and I don't really expect to get it in this lifetime either.
Right.
Which is very, very honest.
Now, right,
of course,
right.
About 5 minutes after I get out the door, usually.
Yeah.
Matt.
Right. Yeah.
So it's going to be continuous, and I might as well be honest about that and, let myself off the hook. It's going
right.
to happen. I'm going to clean on it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Takes after that, it really isn't up to me.
That's right. Because we're not in charge anyway, are we?
Right.
Absolutely.
We are not in charge.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you so deeply. This has been a great show. And again, folks, if you have any questions, get a hold of Malcolm Fraser or get a hold of the website for Ho'oponopono, or email me, and I can also get those questions to them if they want, if you want. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank Dr. Hugh Lin for a great workshop this weekend. Yeah. He was magnificent, and I learned a lot, and I'm so excited to have this tool and this knowledge in my life right now. It's just it feels wonderful to be able to. It feels wonderful to be able to clean on everything that comes forward, and I think that is a huge gift. So again, thank you so much. Thank you to Marna for creating this. Thank you, Divinity, for being so patient with us. And thank you to my little one inside for allowing me to be present with you tonight. And so with that, any last comments, Malcolm? Malcolm? So I think I lost Malcolm again. So I'm good. Oh, there you are. There you are. Did you have any final comments for the
listeners? I've got a little song, which I'm not going to sing. Words by Woody Guthrie, the music by Arlo Guthrie.
Okay.
It's entitled My Peace. I heard him sing it a few weeks ago.
Interesting.
My peace is all I've got that I can give to you. My peace is all I ever had. That's all I ever knew. I give my peace to green and black and red and white and blue. My peace is all I've got that I can give to you. My peace is all I've got and all I've ever known. My peace is worth 1,000 times more than anything I own. I pass my peace around and about, cross hands of every hue. I guess my peace is just about all I've got to give to you.
That's great. Beautiful. Thank
amazing?
You so much, Malcolm. And I hope you have a wonderful workshop.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another Akashic Wisdom show. And so I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records for all their wonderful healing wisdom and inspiration. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen. The records are now closed. And if you would all join me in saying amen. Good night. And you are my guest on the show next week. So get your questions in and email them, call, and we'll be right here with a message from the Akasha next week. Good night for everyone, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.